I don't usually do divorce work, but this time I made an exception. It'd be a public service to divest Karl Martens of some of his ill-gotten gains, even to a harpy like his wife. Besides, the Gold Coast was where Katie Kincaid, of the ironic ice blue eyes and wicked laugh, owned an expensive dress shop. I crept up behind a tall, elegant, dark-haired woman, grabbed her by the arse, put one arm around her waist and kissed her on the back of the neck. Mistake. It was the wrong twin.
Get your hands off me! God! You! Did my husband send you?
No. I'm not with him. I mean, I'm not working for him now.
You aren't on Barry's personal staff anymore?
No. I resigned. I'm a private investigator.
What are you doing here on the Gold Coast?
Oh, watching somebody else's husband. A divorce case. Mrs. Cromer, I'm sorry. It was an honest mistake. I thought you were Katie.
I didn't know you'd met my sister.
Oh, we met in Sydney when she was down on business.
Oh. Kathleen is in Brisbane. She'll be back tomorrow. Would you like me to give her a message?
Oh, just tell her I'm in town and I'll call her before I leave.
By the way, Mr. Fish, nobody ever resigned from Barry Cromer's staff. He never gave them the chance.
The lady was sharp. She probably always had been. But minders usually treat politicians' wives like half-witted children. And I'd been no exception. What can you say about a place like the Gold Coast? Except that its creators made it in their own image and likeness. And it was created by property developers. The high-rise apartments and canal developments are full of bored, bewildered oldies, lured north by the lack of death duties, the sunshine and the ersatz glamour. Drifters, drug addicts, kids on the run, girls on the make, and various other victims and predators eke out a precarious existence on the fringes.
Sid, when will I see you?
For lunch or after work, whatever you like.
Oh, wait a minute, will you? Could you meet me at the Palms restaurant at about 12:30? Margaret wants to talk to you.
Oh, God. Is she still pissed off at me for grabbing her
eyes? No, nothing like that. She's worried. She's got a little problem.
Cromer?
We don't know. We're hoping you'll help us to find out.
Every eye in the room was on me when I joined the Kincaid women at the chic Palms restaurant. The twins, with their perfect skin, rich girl haircuts, pastel linen and discreet gold, were every male tourist's dream souvenir.
Sid, God, it's been ages.
You look great.
You look terrible.
Oh, thanks. You must be getting lots of action.
I think you've already met my sister.
I think I need a scotch.
The twins ate designer salads, colour-coordinated with their linen suits. So I ate for three.
So, what's up?
It's Margaret. Somebody's following her. That's why she got such a shock when you turned up.
I want to know if it's Barry. He's been too generous. I keep waiting for the backlash. I don't trust him.
I see. But are you sure it's him? Have you got any other enemies?
Not that I know of. I lead a pretty quiet life, really. Kathleen is the high-profile member of the family.
Any men at all in your life?
I don't really see that that's...
You're being courted by Jack Morgan, a local builder and developer, pillar of the community. Jack Morgan is handsome, very well-connected, and not married, an endangered species.
Is he jealous, Mrs. Cromer?
I think you can start calling me Margaret, Sid. About Jack, I don't think so. Well, is Jack the jealous type, Kate?
He's always very charming to me, but I can't pretend to know anything about him.
Well, how serious is it?
He wants to marry me.
Do you
reciprocate his feelings?
I don't know. I'm enjoying being my own boss for the first time in 15 years, without Barry treating me like a moron. I don't know if I'm prepared to risk that.
So, who's following you?
This creepy Greek-looking guy. Very young. Looks like something out of Miami Vice.
And you want me to find out who he's working for?
Yes, I do.
Before I take this on, Margaret, do you, do you have anything in your life that you'd rather not come out?
Margaret had a bit of a fling with a rather beautiful MYM when she first got here.
MYM?
Much younger man.
Oh. Is he still on the scene?
No. I decided it was undignified.
More fool you. He's a real spunk. And he's still hanging around waiting for her to come to her senses. He's a cosmetic surgeon.
He sounded like a good bet to me. Plastic surgery would be regarded as an essential service in this town. He'd be loaded, and the Kincaid twins would save a bundle on their nips and tucks.
I think we'd better be getting back to work, Kate. Please, I'll get the bill. By the look of that suit, you need all the help you can get. Don't look now, but he's across the road. The Greek, I mean. In that green sports car. You can see him in the shop window.
Well, let's see what he does. The shadow followed us back to the shop, decided Margaret was firmly ensconced for the afternoon, and left.
He'll come back at closing time to escort me home, and then he'll wait outside to see if I go out. He usually leaves about 11 p.m.
Well, let's say I pick him up when he leaves your place, and he might lead me back to his client. Agreed?
Agreed.
Good.
You can borrow my car, Sid, but no high-speed chasers, understood?
No, mate, that valiant of mine's never had a scratch.
Ah, yeah, I know what a Porsche does to a man's testosterone level.
In the meantime, I had a living to earn. Reluctantly, I went and staked out Carl Martin's office. That evening, I followed him back to a high-priced apartment building where he let himself in with a key. Either he owned it, or he was very friendly with the tenant.
Hey, are you the caretaker?
What do I look like? A bloody collar, no?
Who lives in apartment 820?
And what's it worth to you?
$20?
Oh, last of the big spenders, are we?
There's a recession on.
Yeah, I've noticed. Linda Lacey lives there. She's a blackjack dealer at Jupiter's Casino.
Well, what's all this about, then? Divorce case. She might be on with the husband of my client.
Oh, I wouldn't know nothing about that.
Oh. Would $50 refresh your memory?
Now you come to mention it, a middle-aged foreign-looking geezer does come in fairly regular, for a week at a time, like. You won't have no trouble getting evidence. They go out to dinner every night, then he picks her up from the casino. Flaunts it, he does.
Thanks, mate. By the way, what were you in real life? A prison officer.
Sprawled in Katie's porch, listening to retro rock on the radio, I noticed an old bloke spying on me from a nearby balcony. Our eyes met, and he disappeared inside. My tough guy act didn't work. A few minutes later, he emerged from the building and stuck his head in the passenger window. I ignored him.
If you don't move on, I'll call the police.
Close up, he had eyes like oysters with winter virus and bad breath. I tried to hold mine and talk at the same time. It made me sound like a deflating balloon.
Look, I know Queensland's a bloody police state, but sitting in your car in a residential street isn't against the law yet, is it?
I'm the block captain for Neighbourhood Watch. We don't like strangers hanging about here.
What are you going to do, Grandpa? Make a citizen's arrest?
How dare you?
Oh, relax. Look, here's my license.
Ah, private detective. What are you doing here?
Here, take the weight off your feet.
Thank you. I'm
working for a wife. The blonde blackjack dealer in the penthouse might be about to run off with her husband. You know anything about it?
Is he the middle-aged sugar daddy?
Yeah.
Well, she's making a fool of him. She has men in and out of there all the time when he's not in town. Has to be a call girl. In my age, you don't sleep much.
Oh, I'm sure you don't.
Yeah. Anyway, I have to go now, young man. My favorite program's coming on.
I wondered how he got time to watch television with so much live theater going on. I was beginning to understand why the oldies came here. At 7:30, Martin's emerged from the apartments with a flashy blonde with fabulous legs, silicon-enriched breasts and clothes that made the most of them, and they drove off in an LTD. All I needed now was some incriminating photographs, and I had him. It was early, so I stopped off at the recently refurbished Surfers Paradise Beer Garden, sank a couple of pots of Forex, caught up on the local talent, and demolished about half the Queensland population of King Prawns. Then I wheeled down to Margaret Cromer's apartment in Broadbeach. The Greek was on duty, slouched down in his triumph. The car vibrated to the thump of soulless disco music. Sharp on 11, he pulled out and headed south. I followed. We travelled through miles of gaudy neon motel signs back to Surfers Paradise and beyond. Eventually, the Greek turned into Bundall, an industrial area. I dropped back. The Greek's destination seemed to be a 60s brick edifice called Gold Co. Constructions Proprietary Limited. Safe behind a brick wall, I watched him stroll to the entrance, pick the lock, and disappear inside. He was in and out in 10 minutes, carrying a large cardboard cylinder. This was getting very strange. Suffering from an overdose of sun, grog, and protein, I hoped he'd go home to bed. But the next port of call was a dive called the Bamboo Bar. Decked out with wooden beads, palm trees and bamboo stools, the Bamboo Bar had seen better days. All it needed was Claude Rains in a soiled white suit slumped over a Singapore sling. The Greek made a phone call and I ordered a drink. 15 minutes later, his company arrived.
Give me a look. Want a drink?
What?
Do you want a drink?
No, I just want to go home. Here's your money. Thanks.
It better be all here.
I had to make a quick decision. Follow the thief home and squeeze him a little, or find out what sort of scam these two were running. The Greek could keep. I decided to tail the client, who cabbed it to a glitzy new hotel in Cavill Avenue. Abandoning the car in a no-parking zone, I took off after my quarry into the marble and chrome lobby. He pressed 15, I pressed 14. Oldest trick in the book. I got to the 15th floor in time to see him disappearing into room 1512. I gave him 5 minutes.
Hotel security, I'd like to talk to you.
Oh, yes, hold on. What do you want?
Oh,
I pushed him backwards into the room before he had a chance to object. The suitcase on the bed suggested he was making a quick getaway. The name tag read David J. Durham, Principal Architect, Durham Hardy Jameson, Architects.
Hold on a minute. Give me another look at that ID.
Oh, don't, Miss Bicker. I'm tired. I've just driven all the way here from Bundle, Gold Co. Construction Company, to be precise.
Are you going to leave, or shall I have to call the desk and have you removed?
You shan't do nothing of the kind. Love your tie,
oh,
by the way.
Get your hands off me.
Good. Now I've got your attention. I saw the Greek pinch the plans from the Gold Co. office. He handed them over to you in the bamboo bar, and you paid him. Anything to add?
You've ruined my tie. Who are you?
A private eye. The Greek was tailing a friend of mine. I wanted to see who was running him, and he led me to Bundle.
You aren't working for Jack Morgan.
So that's who owns Gold Co. He really gets around, doesn't he?
What do you want?
I'm curious. Why did you get the Greek to steal those plans from Jack Morgan?
Because they belong to me. They're for a village development in the hinterland, housing, golf courses, international hotels, that sort of thing. Morgan commissioned the designer drawings from us.
Who's us?
My company. Durham Hardy Jameson, we're architects. Anyway, Morgan hasn't paid up. Rumor has it he's in financial trouble. He bought up big in the boom, and now he's trying to sell in the bust. It happens all the time. That's why he was trying to screw us, I suppose. But then I found out he'd asked a local group to do the working drawings for our project.
What's that mean?
It means he's paid us the minimum to get the concept worked up. And now he's contracting the rest of the job out to cheaper people. The understanding was that Durham, Hardy and Jameson would do the lot. They were counting on it. We need the money.
How badly?
Very badly. We got a lot of work in the last year and expanded, got bigger offices, put people on. But some of the new partners haven't brought in any work, and one of our major clients went broke owing us a bundle. This double cross was the last straw.
And you're just going to take the plans back to Sydney?
Yes. If we don't get the work, nobody else is going to.
Oh, mate. If this is what passes for revenge in architectural circles, you deserve to go broke.
You don't have to be offensive.
How important are these designs to Morgan?
They're crucial. He's back to square one without them. If his creditors find out he doesn't even have a concept anymore, they'll cut him off.
So maybe he'd be willing to come to some arrangement about the designs, a financial arrangement, maybe.
Oh, no. I'm not putting myself out on that limb.
For a moment, I considered hijacking the plans and selling them to Morgan myself. Then I realized I didn't want to show my hand either. If I lost my PI license, I'd have exhausted my career options.
If you're so tough, why don't you do it?
What we need here is a middleman.
What's in this for you, anyway?
Oh, the percentage. What are the plans worth?
Well, he owes us $50,000, and we stand to lose another $50,000 if somebody else gets the job.
20%.
That's bloody usury.
Oh, hardly. Credit cards are 20, overdrafts are 25, and the loan shark on the corner charges 50.
Take it or leave it.
All right.
Now, how do I get hold of the Greek who pinched the plans?
Oh, wait a minute. I've got his card here somewhere. You two deserve each other.
Andrew Katsopoulos turned out to be a street smarts and killed a second-generation Greek who couldn't stand the Melbourne weather and had joined the migration north. He made up in deviousness what he lacked in brains, brawn and class. But at least two of these would have been wasted on the Gold Coast anyway.
This is too early in the morning for me. Get to the point.
I've got the Gold Co. plans. And I want you to sell them back to Jack Morgan.
Why should I?
Not to stop me ringing him up and telling him you pinched him, for starters.
Plus, I'll pay you.
How much?
20% of my cut.
Which is?
10% of gross.
I want 50%.
25.
40.
30. Last offer.
What are they worth anyhow?
$50,000.
Dream on, Morgan will never come at that. He's nearly broke.
If he doesn't get them back, he'll go belly up. He hasn't got any choice.
What's that bottom line?
I'll leave that up to you. Just don't try to cream too much off the top or I'll get irritable.
I hope you still know what you're doing, that's all. I come up here for the sunshine, I'll lose my tan in jail. That the lot?
For the moment.
Thanks for the breakfast. I'm out of here.
In the excitement of the game, I completely forgot to ask him who'd hired him to spy on Margaret Cromer. It'd keep. I holed up with the architect in his hotel room and waited for the Greek's return.
Good afternoon.
Katie, tell Margaret the tale's off.
Great. How did you manage that?
It's a long story. I'll tell you when I see you.
When will that be?
Tonight, okay? Look, I've got to go. There's someone at the door. Well, let him in, will you? Jesus.
Shit, what are you up to? Who are you talking to just now?
Don't ask. I'll see you later.
You took your time?
Now, stop whinging. How much you get?
$45,000.
Well, hand it over. I want to get out of here.
Listen to the wuss, will you? Easiest bloody money you ever made, sport.
You don't have to be rude, Mr. Kotsopoulos.
I know. I just like to.
I suppose I have to thank you, too. But I can't pretend this has been a pleasant experience for me.
Oh, Christ, you're going home a hero. Stop bitching. Come on. I'll see you out.
Outside, I collected my other $4,500 and stuffed it into my pockets. This was turning into quite a nice little earner.
Ungrateful bastard. How much did you really get?
45, I told you.
Okay. I'll accept my $4,500 minus your...
1,500.
Okay. 1,500. In return for some surveillance on a divorce case. Then we'll be even.
No way, mate. I'm on holidays as of today.
You won't get far on $1,500, especially not with Jack Morgan on your tail.
You drive a hard bargain, Sydney. What's the job?
I have to get some incriminating photos of a businessman called Carl Martins with his girlfriend, Linda Lacey. She's a blackjack dealer at Jupiter's Casino.
That blonde broad that looks like a Barbie doll.
You know her?
Mate, everybody knows Linda. Her boyfriend doesn't know what he's got himself into.
He certainly doesn't. Wait till his wife hears about this. I'd back her against the Gold Coast tart any day.
Okay, why not? 200 a day plus expenses. 3 days minimum. Why don't you want to do it, or is that a rude question?
No, I want to work on my tan.
Good idea. You look like shit. What's the real reason?
I ran into an old friend. The twin sister of the woman you've been tailing.
Twins? Christ, I thought there was something weird going on.
They played some games with you, did they? Serves you right. Now, while I'm on the subject, who hired you to watch Margaret Cromer?
Sorry, mate. Meter's expired.
Exactly what is it we're celebrating, Sid?
I formed a consortium with the Greek who was following Margaret, and we shook down Jack Morgan.
God, you're serious? What for?
I accidentally obtained some plans he'd lost and sold them back to him.
You stole them?
Oh, not technically. The Greek did. He was working for some architects who hadn't been paid for them.
Oh, so Jack's a crook like everyone else.
Yeah. Your sister seems to have a fatal attraction for spivs.
Mm. Speaking of which, she doesn't know we shook down her husband for $100,000.
Yeah, I figured that. Why didn't you tell her?
Oh, I thought she'd run screaming for the hills. She's still frightened Fat Barry will come after her for the money she took out of the joint account. Poor little bugger's still in therapy.
What did you do with the dough?
It's in the short-term money market. I'll hand it over one of these days when she's well enough to see the joke.
You want some coffee?
Why don't we have it at my place?
The phone rang in the middle of the night, full of rich food, champagne and cognac. I took a while to struggle awake and crawl over Katie Kincaid to answer it.
Oh, God. What time is it? Yeah.
Katie?
It's Sid. What's wrong?
Oh, Sid, come quickly. Help me.
What's going on?
Your sister's in trouble. Come on.
We sped through the night to Margaret Cromer's home in Broadbeach.
We're not too late.
Yeah, the door's open. Stay back.
It was Barry Cromer, MP. Flower of the New South Wales Liberal Party. Red-faced and liquor-affected and madder than a ram in heat. He was rhythmically bashing a chair against a door and screaming abuse.
Come out, you bitch, or I'll break the door down.
Bezza!
You!
Hey!
Stop it! Get him off! Hey, you get your hands off me, you lout! I'm a member of Parliament!
And I'm a minister of police!
Cromer deflated like a run-over cane toad. He was probably imagining tomorrow's headlines in the Gold Coast Bulletin. There'd be no chance of hushing up this little domestic now that the Labor Party had control of the state.
Oh, God, now, Margaret, quick! She's in the bathroom!
Come out, Margaret! It's Sid! And Katie! And the cavalry!
So it was Cromer all along.
Yes. He wanted a reconciliation. He said he missed me. He promised to change.
Oh, yeah.
But my friends in Sydney say it's because he's been promoted to the cabinet. He thinks it looks bad to have a runaway wife living it up on the Gold Coast. So, of course, I told him...
He was full of shit.
...that I had no intention of propping up his political career anymore.
But why have you followed?
To make sure Mark wasn't running around with any of my disreputable friends. That wouldn't look too good on the front page at election time.
But that's not the whole story. My spies tell me he's going to be investigated by the Anti-Corruption Commission.
And he wants you there to hold his hand?
Not exactly.
What Marg's trying to say is that she has got the goods on him, and he's terrified she'll use them.
And will you?
I might. And then again, I might not.